discipline, tapas, energy, zeal. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Aristotle. I had shoulder surgery in 2008, and ever since I wait for that moment in yoga class when we are directed to take our mats to the wall for an inversion pose. That is a cue to hold my breath and chant a silent mantra. Please don't let it be a headstand. Please don't let it be a headstand. After physical rehabilitation and many months of exercise and yoga, my shoulder is strong again, in some ways stronger than before. I've regained the ability to do postures I once feared were lost. I pop up into a headstand, Salamba Shirasana, with relative ease, and I consistently rock a passable Chaturanga, a form of push-up. With patience and perseverance, the forearm balance, Insha Myara Sana, is something I no longer dread. But I have yet to get my handstand, Adamukha Prakshanana, without a significant assist from my teacher or a fellow yogi. I am frequently tempted to head for the ladies' room when the time comes, or just give up trying altogether, and yet I don't want to be ruled by fear. Even if I never do anything, another handstand in my life, persevering in the attempt is good practice. Preserving in the attempt is good practice. So when the yogis around me drag their mats to the wall for handstand, I silence the negative mantra and remind myself, it is not just about the destination. The journey is equally important. Practice is action. I attempt the handstand. The translation of the Sanskrit word tapas is heat. Swami Kripalu, an Indian-born guru who advanced the teachings of Kundalini Yoga in the Western world, likens this precept to the friction caused by going against the grain, which initially causes pain or discomfort. Developing self-discipline, practicing tapas, is about leaning into the distress that often accompanies an attempt to learn something new, or the churning experienced when trying to change cherished but unproductive habits. Tapas helps you burn off the things that don't serve you. As with the other niyamas, tapas calls for presence. On the mat, this quality helps you hold a challenging pose, even as your muscles quiver and your mind begs for relief. Without the vital tools of self-awareness, self-discipline, and concentration, your potential remains untapped or underutilized. Pema Chodron, an American Buddhist nun and author of When Things Fall Apart, Heart Advice for Difficult Times, says, tapas brings you back from any form of potential escape from reality. When you are reluctant to experience the pain of doing something you are unaccustomed to, tapas asks you to embrace the discomfort to foster growth. T.K.V. Desikachar says that tapas is what helps you move forward. Christopher began practicing yoga soon after enrolling in college. It fostered a tapas that helped him cultivate the mental focus he lacked in his first few semesters. Once lackadaisical about schoolwork, he created study habits that improved his grades and a mental discipline that continued to be useful in his job. After taking up yoga, he made the dean's list. Yoga helped me commit to my studies. It really helped me sort everything out. Not just my muscles and how I was feeling physically, but also my energy. Maureen Dolan, who teaches a class on yoga at DePaul University, defines tapas as the enthusiastic discipline that fuels follow-through and excellence. It is the foregoing of immediate personal gratification for something larger and more worthwhile, and benefit to more people. Eknath Yaswaran says that tapas is what makes spontaneous excellence possible, and is an excellent practice for training the mind for vigorous mental discipline, such as meditation. Anyone can learn, he says, if they are prepared to put in the effort. Channeling the Force. Zoe, who teaches first graders at a public school, says she uses yoga techniques to help instill that enthusiastic discipline into her young students. They have a natural zeal for learning, but are short on self-discipline. She uses five breathing techniques, pranayama, the topic of Chapter 5, to help her students harness and perpetuate their natural tapas. Kids are full of energy, so you want to keep that fire, enhance that fire. But do not let it burn out of control, says Zoe, who also teaches yoga to adults in the evening. Myriad rules and regulations require her to adhere to a specific curriculum in the classroom, because what she teaches is so prescribed, and how she is judged depends so heavily on how much students learn. Helping the first graders stay on task is essential. Kids in a small classroom feed off each other, especially after lunch or recess when their energy is very high. You have to find a way to contain that and even bring it down, so they can find the discipline to focus on their work, Zoe says. She doesn't call it yoga, she calls it deskercise. The children like it so much that they promise to be on their best behavior if Zoe will please, please, please let them do it. Using breathing techniques, meditation, or physical poses, she can generate energy when it is waned or lower the level when the kids are wired. For instance, I might dim the lights and have them close their eyes and put their hands on their bellies. Then I tell them to see if they can blow up their bellies like a balloon and see if they can deflate the balloon very slowly by breathing out through their noses. Slowly inhale. Slowly exhale. After a minute or two, the whole energy has changed. They are ready to settle down and get to work. They've tapped into tapas. Regeneration to restore the fire. The paradox of tapas is that generating the heat and the energy also requires conservation and renewal. Rest is essential. Those 12-hour days you're putting in might seem essential for meeting deadlines and getting the work done, but how does it ultimately serve you or the workplace if you become exhausted? When you show up feeling physically stressed, mentally tired, or emotionally resentful about sacrificing important parts of your life, you suffer and so does your work. Time is a finite resource, until someone discovers a way to manufacture more of it. The humble and mighty all get 24 hours per day. Time management might help you pack more activity into your day, if packing more activity into your day really enriches your life, but it won't give you 25 hours. Going slow in order to go fast will serve you far better than getting stuck in energy-sapping overdrive. Taking time out for reflection and introspection helps keep the flame of tapas going. I love the story told in a yoga class that makes this point. A student went to a sage with this question. Master, if I stay with you and study to deeply understand your tradition, how long will it take? The sage thought for a moment and replied, 10 years. Dismayed, the student said, but what if I work very hard and study day and night without ceasing? Then how long will it take? The sage reflected before he answered, 20 years. Happily, you have at your disposal, a resource to help you be more effective and feel better, and is completely renewable. Energy. As Kevin Cashman writes in Leadership from the Inside Out, Becoming a Leader for Life, although each day brings almost impossible demands on our time, with too many meetings, obligations, and 24/7 connectivity in a global marketplace, it is our energy and resiliency that are stressed daily, not the clock. What sounds more realistic? Squeezing more time out of the day or investing in strategies that will increase your energy? What do you notice about your choices, your environment, and your productivity levels when you are feeling strong and energetic? What can you do to manage your energy in a way that allows you to maximize your contribution at work? If you are feeling beat up and drained at the end of your workday, what needs to change to get your fire burning again? No matter how much you love your work, too much of it can throw your energy and your life out of whack. Lots of simple strategies can help restore it. A walk around the block, 5 minutes of meditating, yoga class after work, listening to music, or, like Zoe's first graders, maybe you just need to reconnect to your breath. Restoring your energy will help banish resentment, clear your mind, and make you more effective at work. We offer some breathing techniques at the end of Chapter 5. Tapas is an internal fire and can only be lit from within. In a world of work riddled with motivational literature and seminars promising to teach you how to motivate others, it's easy to get sucked into the notion that someone else should incentivize you to action. Understanding tapas means accepting that you are in charge of your own motivation and morale. Tapas, like motivation, only works when it's intrinsic. By its very nature, it must be self-generated. The support and encouragement you receive from others is a wonderful gift, but ultimately, you make the choices about the quest for learning, the quality of your work, and whether to push the limit of perseverance or pause for energy renewal. You tend the fire. 5 suggestions for practicing tapas. 1. Developing self-discipline requires self-awareness. Commit to a day of jotting down the times you think you should be doing something. Studying, working out, reading, but don't. How many of these things are tied to your goals or values? How do you end up deciding what to do? 2. If you are having a hard time feeling enthusiastic about your job, make a list of things that would help you feel more motivated, and instill discipline. What do you notice? How many of the things on your list are dependent on the actions of others? How many are within your control? Number 3. Make a list of your typical daily activities, and then draw two columns next to the list. On one column, write energy draining, and on the other, energy restoring. Go down the list and put check marks in each one of the columns next to each activity. What do you notice? Number 4. Next time you hear yourself saying, if I can't do this because, change the wording to, I choose not to do this because. What do you notice? Number 5. Choose a long-term desire you want to satisfy or must stretch to obtain, i.e. paying off a credit card, getting a promotion, or extending an aspect of your yoga practice. Make a list of what you might have to give up to achieve the desire. Make a list of what you might gain. This has been a reading of Tapas from Yoga Wisdom at Work by Kevon Lindenberg, written by Marin Shokir and Jamie Shokir.